My guest, State Senator Mark Shessler, a longtime Republican leader in the state Senate. He has passed that title on to John Braun from Centralia Chehalis. Mark Shessler represents Ritzville and has been in the legislature, my goodness, since the 90s, a good friend of KVI, and it's great to have him here with us this morning. Mark Shessler, a lot of people, you know, looking beyond the problems with COVID and the vaccine, are talking lockdown and this incredible outburst of enthusiasm for lifting the lockdown, bipartisan enthusiasm we saw in this hearing 1 week ago, Senate Bill 5114. What are the prospects of that moving along?
Well, I think it's only going to succeed if we have the public encouraging those people that don't want to publicly take a stand. It's easy for me. I look across the imaginary line into Idaho, and it's a completely different world than it is in Washington. My friends over here in Puget Sound don't see Idaho across the border every day, but they have to educate their legislators in every district that we can move forward safely.
I know, again, people in Idaho are living a very different reality than people in eastern Washington, much to the dismay and frustration and exasperation of a lot of people in eastern.
Well, if I look across that imaginary line, they had scholastic sports this year. Their restaurants and bowling alleys are open. They have more in-person classes at the University of Idaho. I'm not asking to be Idaho. I'm asking to let's look at what a reasonable ground is. We can't subsidize businesses forever because we shut them down. There is a point where they have to open. The public treasury is exhaustible.
Well, beyond that, you've said something very important here. School sports. For heaven's sakes, school sports are so important. I mean, almost everyone's high school life goes back to either they participated in sports, or they knew someone very close to them who participated in sports, or there were social occasions built around the game, you know, Friday night after the game or whatever. And I don't know why we have been shutting down all of these sports, high school sports. There's no science that drives it. What are Idaho's COVID numbers compared to Washington?
You know, at times they're better, at times they're worse. With a completely looser system, they also had special legislative sessions while we were afraid to. I'm not saying we need to be Idaho, but this governor only listens to blue state governors. Red state governors have good ideas too.
Well, and in some cases, you know, better results. For instance, I believe that the five states that have better COVID numbers than we have, none of them have locked down their have their restaurants or their bowling alleys or their fitness clubs or their museums or their movie theaters locked down right now, Mark.
Well, I've heard that figure before. I haven't seen an updated number, but there are ways to do things better, and we have unfortunately ignored those ways, and we're going to pay for it with our education system and a day of reckoning in our economy.
You're listening to Mark Shessler from the Washington State Senate, giving us the latest on what is going on. Speaking of the latest here on Talk Radio 570 KVI Seattle, what will be happening the first few days this week in the Senate, Mark Shessler?
Well, we're going to see a number of early action bills, some innocuous, some less than perfect. For example, the unemployment insurance bill. It is a step forward for some employers, but it really just puts the pain down the road a ways on installment payments. There is a promise of we will address that next year. We will certainly consider putting the second round of CARES Act money into that to buy the cost down. We will consider budget stabilization account money. I've heard many of these promises before in my decades of service, and I don't think I can vote for something based on a promise of we'll get around to it someday.
Yeah.
Because there are concerns. Now, our restaurants are desperate, other employers, but this is a lot of hollow promises by just putting the pain on an installment plan.
Well, and plus, you know, people don't want a check. They want a job.
Well, absolutely. And one of the biggest email sources we're having now come from workers who are still mad as hops about what employment security did to them. These are not coming from Republican PCOs. These are coming from workers who really got a bum deal from employment security. While I don't agree with them on everything, they were right on that. They were treated horribly by employment security, and their now director has a appointment upstairs that's yet to be announced.
By the way, thank you for mentioning that. The person who was asleep at the switch and then stiff-armed an auditor from her own party from getting to the bottom of what was going on to the point where the auditor, Pat McCarthy, had to publicly issue a letter of complaint before finally getting cooperation from the Employment Securities Department is Susie Levine. Susie Levine is the person whose department, which runs unemployment, allowed the department to be fleeced by nearly $333 billion. $333 billion, by far the biggest theft in Washington state history. And for some reason, she kept her job, Mark Schessler.
$400,000 to the Biden campaign, a proven bundler for the DNC, and a few strategically placed campaign contributions around Washington, and all is forgiven.
And she is now advertising the fact that she is leaving her post to join the Biden administration. I'm not sure that what she did qualifies for a promotion.
Well, what you see what $400,000 can buy. I mean, I don't think she became ambassador to Switzerland because of former diplomatic skills. She came because she was a great fundraiser.
When you say $400,000 she raised or $400,000 she donated?
Well, as I read in the newspapers, which always get it right, her and her husband donated $400,000 to the Biden campaign.
We have
freedom to donate to the candidates of our choice, but it certainly would seem to have some impact on the decision-making process.
Looking for a way out. Yo, I get it. By the way, what is the status of the gas tax? What is the status of the capital gains income tax?
Well, the capital gains income tax had a hearing that went poorly for those income tax proponents. I think that calling it a gas tax in the House is the nicest thing you could say about it, because not only is it the biggest gas tax in history with no reforms, but it also increases 28 different fees, including license plates, trailer licenses, etc., and a carbon tax. So the carbon tax is not protected by the 18th Amendment. So no. Clearly, calling it the biggest gas tax in history may be the nicest thing you could say about it. And unlike connecting Washington, there are no reforms. You like the way DOT runs the state? Let's just throw some more money at it and see what happens.
Are you absolutely sure about this, Senator Schessler? Because the Democrats said that they weren't going to raise any taxes that increase the burdens on working class people. And every single tax and fee you just mentioned increases burdens on working class people.
Well, it's like I told one of a House member from Puget Sound. I said, my legislative district has half the average median income of yours. So these energy taxes are more punitive and more regressive on low-income people in my district than hers.
Absolutely.
So they clearly are regressive because they're not going to buy a new hybrid or a new EV. And they're struggling to pay their tabs now.
Time runs very low. Thanks for joining us. We're going to keep an eye on this and track its progress. Senator Schessler, thanks for joining me on the John Carlson Show here on Talk Radio 570 KVI.